the citation to where the Bernard opinion, they cite to the legislative history, you'll find it on page 496 of the Washington version of Bernard, and in particular, it cites to footnote 73. And footnote 73 is a citation to the real property and probate and trust comments of the Bar Association. But I'll tell you, I think that site is the one that we were talking about that is broken or no longer links to it. But in any case, I did want to at least let you know, in the Bernard case, it does cite to what we were talking about. Let's see. Also, I did also find, I think it was to Judge Cox's question on the Senate, or I'm sorry, Judge Applewicz, the Senate bill report, which is found at Appendix 1 to our opening brief, the second paragraph references the real property, probate, and trust section of the Bar Association. It doesn't cite to that specific website, but it does indicate the bar's commentary. It seems to be the basis of that Senate bill report. So that was the basis of my recollection that I mentioned earlier. In attempting to wrap up on the case, I think it is important to look at the legislative history that from 100 years ago, where a lot of these earlier cases originated from, that there's been a progression in the intent of the legislature to broaden the scope of probate, of what probate courts can handle in Washington. And I say that very lightly because traditionally, going way back to England, probate courts were in a completely different, they were part of the exchequer, I believe, versus courts of law. Over time, they've been merged. And the legislature, through TEDRA and through the legislative history, acknowledges that, that we don't have formalistic jurisdictional islands of probate and then areas of law, that those probate courts, the walls have basically been broken down to a large degree. So Ms. Sloan's case.
But it seems like, I'm not quite sure which case it is, but it seems like there are cases, and counsel has alluded to this topic, that, you know, the desire is to have a proceeding, the probate proceeding, which is, you know, efficiently directed towards wrapping up the probate, and you have certain parties and they have to be notified and so forth. But when somebody challenges the rejection of a creditor's claim, it shouldn't be in there because it's just an ordinary civil action, and why does everybody have to know about it? I mean, just file it as a lawsuit and don't tangle it up in the probate proceedings and don't distract everybody with it.
Well, the dividing line the legislature set on that is whether it's a matter. So, for example, most common creditor's claims in a probate are credit cards. Credit cards claims would, I would say, do not fall within any scope, any aspect of the term matter. But in Sloan's case, we have a piece of real estate that is governed by a TEDRA agreement, a former version of TEDRA, and it discusses what the obligations are as to that piece of property, and that property under that agreement passes at death. Those are clearly matters, as TEDRA defines them, and clearly should be handled in a probate based on what the legislature has guided us now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. The court will be at recess.